been described as brilliant, audacious, smart, creative, original and wickedly funny, but also self-absorbed, annoying, gratuitous and lacking in racial diversity. And most interesting of all, maybe it's been described as both feminist and anti-feminist, depending, of course, on your point of view. It seems that those who've seen it either love it or hate it, but either way, everybody's talking about the HBO TV show Girls and its creator and star, Lena Dunham. Now, it's in its third season at the moment. It's shown on this side of the water on Sky Atlantic. The hype keeps on growing, with Dunham even featuring on the cover of Vogue magazine. But what's been more noticeable of late is a backlash against the show and its main star. So what is Girls really all about? I mean, is it all that it's cracked up to be? And is Dunham really the voice of our generation? Well, Vicky Notaro, the editor of the Irish Independent's Day and Night magazine and a self-confessed Girls fan, joins me now in the studio. Is that all you are, a fan? You're not completely and absolutely over the top about it, are you?
No, not quite. Although I'm not really over the top about anything these days.
Really?
I can see both sides.
Life is bad. Okay. Okay, Vicky, listen, for those not in the know, and I'm not in the know, even though I've seen the first three, not the first three series or anything, I've seen the first three programmes and I fell apart then because I had no interest after that. Sorry, just didn't do it. What exactly is Girls all about?
Okay, well, it's mainly based on Lena Dunham's character, Hannah. She's an only child, she's from the Midwest and she's moved to Brooklyn in New York with some of her friends, and she's basically trying to make it as a writer. She's pretty artistic and thinks a lot of herself, and it's just about her kind of trials and tribulations, her relationships, both romantic and platonic, and professional. So it's been hailed as a Sex in the City for 20-somethings, but I don't really
You've described it as a bit of a Friends, no? It's not
kind
that...
of, yeah. Well, Friends was a lot more unrealistic. Like, I'm still a bit annoyed that I don't live in a purple loft with all of my friends, you know? Yeah. Like, if you grew up watching Friends, you had a very distinct kind of perspective of what your 20s might be like, whereas Girls is what it's actually like. It's very gritty, it's very warts and all.
Okay, so Sex in the City, you say, and that's where...
Well, it draws comparisons because they're both HBO shows, they're both centred on four women who are friends in the city, you know. But Sex and the City was a lot more focused on love and men and relationships, whereas Girls, if anything, I think is more focused on, you know, getting a job, making your way in the world.
Yeah, it's obviously a lot less glossy, it's a lot more gritty, definitely. It's a lot more street.
Yeah, oh definitely, it's very hipster. Some people think that's a dirty word, but it's very kind of in the here and now.
And one of the reasons why people might be able to relate would be the fact that it's like everybody else and nobody's a clue what they're doing in terms of having a future or what they're going to do.
Yeah, like I said, shows like Friends and Sex and the City, for me anyway, growing up, that's what I thought my life was going to be like when I grew up.
Yeah.
And it's not. And Girls is a very stark reflection of that. And I think as a generation, I think 20-somethings have a sense of entitlement because we're the generation that we're told to kind of shoot
That'll
for the moon.
That'll be bet out of you by
well,
30, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, it's already been bet out of us. Mm. You have these expectations and then they're not met, and but you still have these kind of ambitions and dreams that have been, you know, instilled in you growing up, and I think Girls is a very true reflection of that.
Do you think if you were doing this in the mid-90s, the growing up business of all of that, I think there might have been a bit more because there was so much optimism and there was at least another 10 years of mad money, supposedly. Like, for instance, you know, you can't be doing what you want to do in a Sex and the City kind of way growing up in Dublin.
No,
because it's not New York.
No. So well, New York isn't like that anymore either, and that's, you know, why this show has really taken off, because it is a realistic kind of portrayal of people in their mid to late 20s. And yeah, I don't think it would have been as interesting 10 years ago, because the whole point of it is that it is a struggle and it is a reflection and people can relate to these women.
I'm nearly going to say, diddums. It's a pity about the whole lot. Anyway, look, hold on. Okay,
well,
look, there are four actresses involved in Girls, but really, I mentioned Lena Dunham twice earlier, and let's stay with Lena Dunham, because really, isn't it all about her? She's the writer, the creator, the producer, the star, and
you directs know, often as well.
Oh, does she direct as well?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And, the feminist icon for a new generation, possibly, and been put up there on a pedestal and been living with this for the past bunch of years, and now backlash, or what?
Well, she has some very strong feminist principles. She describes herself as a feminist. You know, she's a feminist for the 21st century, but I think the most salient point regarding Lena Dunham is her age. She's 27. She's been very successful for 2 or 3 years now. She's rumoured to have received upwards of $3 million for her new book, which is coming out in the autumn.
And sorry, is the book about an autobiography?
It's a memoir, yeah.
Oh, a memoir.
So
right,
it's
okay.
About being a girl, basically. But she, I don't know, she's a funny one. It's hard to say. She is a feminist, she identifies as a feminist, but she's making her mistakes very publicly. Like, she's posing for sexy shoots and then not being able to deal with the backlash very well, and appearing in fashion magazines when, you know, basically a feminist website called Jezebel has offered loads of money for the unretouched pictures of Lena, because the thing about her is that she was always so real. Like, she's nude on girls a lot, and she, you know, she shows everything warts and
all. So she does pictures that might show a lot of flesh, they're touched up, and she'd be the kind of person who would have been totally anti-touched up.
Well, I'm not sure of her own political stance on it, but as a strident feminist, you know, that would be something that they might take against, you know. Vogue was a funny one because there was a lot of flack. She was shot basically head and shoulders for the cover, and anytime, what feminists were saying is that anytime anyone with a less than perfect physique, say less than model-esque physique, is on the cover, then they're cropped. Now, Lena said she had no problem with this at all, and she really enjoyed the shoot, and her mom loved it, and she was delighted to do it. She also did photographs with Terry Richardson, who'd be quite a controversial photographer, accused of kind of over-sexualising women. And then she said afterwards that she regretted it. So it's funny, but to me, she's just making all her mistakes very publicly because she's so young. So, you know,
all of this adds fuel to a fire of liking her more, I presume, from your point
endearing.
Of view.
She's endearing. I find her endearing. Like, she is making mistakes. She is very young.
I mean,
she's
like, does she have the kind of sassy kind of cool of being educated and sort of a good mind, knowing
this
well enough
it.
How to whatever? I mean, like, is she the... Like, I mean, we had Cathy Moore in here in the programme one time, and she was absolutely brilliant.
She's amazing.
But she's able to be brilliant.
Well,
is this? I get the impression this woman is a few, sort of, with all due respect, a little bit down on the intelligence level, and that's nice about her, maybe.
I think she's hyper intelligent. I just think she hasn't got the experience that Caitlin Moore
has. All right,
has.
Yeah, sorry.
She's been a newspaper columnist for 20 years. She's got children. She's married. She's been around a while, whereas Lena's making all her mistakes in the public eye.
Okay, what about then, just not so much her shoots for magazines, but the nudity and the sex scenes in Girls itself? You know, it's real life, warts and all, and, you know, she's been lauded for this in terms of it's just there. It's like a camera, like as a third person in the room, that almost shouldn't be there, maybe, or you think it shouldn't, or certainly hasn't been in the past, or she's been criticised for it.
Well, I think she's been equally kind of lauded and derided for it. She's been lauded for just putting, you know, herself out there and seemingly not caring what people say about her body, and that can only be positive in terms of body image for young girls who might watch it and go, oh God, that's what I look like, or, you know, she's somebody who's not picture perfect and airbrushed and, you know, dieted to within an inch of her life. She's a very average kind of body shape, which is, you know, good to put out there and very unusual. And, you know, it's pretty sad that it's very unusual that we'd see that on TV. But yeah, it's very gritty, and the people who are deriding it are just people who are uncomfortable, I think, with looking at an average woman's body, probably because we're just not used to it.
Okay, but I mean, like, when I mentioned Friends and Sex and the City earlier on, I didn't like Sex and the City. It wasn't my kind of thing. These kind of people obsessed with things that I don't think people should be obsessed with, kind of, or whatever. It just wasn't my thing, whatever. And the Friends thing, while I understand the Friends thing, like, you know, the whingy bunch of idiots that they are in some ways, like, I got a slap across the face in 6 months and the FCA would sort them all out. But the point I'm making is here, these ones here, maybe one of the reasons why I stopped after programme number three was they're kind of selfish, and they're kind of like, I've no real interest in them. Again, whingy a bit in some ways. They're very self-absorbed in that. And is that just a reflection of today's 20-somethings and therefore, look, just shut up, Dave, and accept it or whatever?
Do you know what I think it might be to an extent? There are a lot of people who don't, you know, go around whinging and just get on with things. But I think, like I mentioned before, the sense of entitlement, I think we did grow up with it. And, you know, we all think that it's just, if you look at X Factor and these reality shows, people who think that they deserve superstardom and
exactly
to achieve
what
their
I say.
Dreams.
Yeah, they all cry about Granny and they all cry about the fact that I was born to sing and that. No,
I think
weren't.
It's just
you're
how
born
we were
to
raised.
Get a job.
This is it. But, like, you know, at the same time, she's obviously achieved her dream and she's doing really, really well for herself, making millions. So it remains to be seen if she has any more kind of thoughts that will resonate with people so much.
So really what we should be saying here, can we both agree probably, that it's bloody honest.
Very honest, yeah. And, you know, I kind of feel a bit weird when I relate to it so much because it is so gritty, it is so warts and all, and, you know, that can be a bit hard to take. From a personal point of view.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to say that the 20-something of 2004, 94, 84, or 74, was that the last one? Like, 94, 84, 74, yeah, weren't selfish. But there is something about the fact that these people are kind of,
well,
like,
I think we're talking about it now, whether it's just due to kind of social media. I think my generation has more of a voice because even with Friends, you know, that was older people writing those scripts. Now you have somebody who's 27 writing about being 27, 26, 25.
But what about your stuff, Vicky? I mean, like, the generation expectation in terms of children. just, do you really think that there was? And do you not think it was maybe just the kick end of the Celtic Tiger?
It could have been, yeah, it could have been. But I just know that I'm part of a generation that came out of college to no jobs, and people were really having, no, I was
but personally not very just, lucky. But it's not just that you came out of no jobs. I'm trying to guess an age here, so it's very difficult. That's just you came out of no jobs. But I would imagine if you had your heads down the book for 3 years and you suddenly realised like everything was possible, because for 15 years this country was supposed to be whatever it was, and then you stuck your head up and you went, okay, now, there's nothing out there. Yeah. It's a wasteland.
Definitely.
Say, like for you guys, I think for an 18-year-old now, it's a lot easier because they know it's shit out there, basically.
Well, but
And you guys, like, it was like, what happened overnight?
We had high hopes and relentless optimism, and then it was like a smack in the face. But at the same time, there were opportunities if you went digging enough for them. So I don't think it's, you know, fair enough to blame the crash or whatever. Everybody suffered. But yeah, I think definitely it was a hard tail end smack in the face.
Okay, well, for you then, if you were thinking of you thought your life might be the Sex and the City, and I know you're being slightly facetious, but in one way, yeah, but in a way, like you thought it might, you never know, because that's what you know, had aspired to and hoped to achieve or whatever. So the life that Gina, at least that this one, Hannah, is that her name?
Lena Dunham's Hannah, yeah.
That Hannah just, you know, she wants to be a certain kind of thing, and she's constantly trying to be the adult that she wants to be, and just what is it? Obstacles.
Yeah, she's just struggling, like she can't, like, in the most recent episode, I'm not sure if it's broadcast on Sky Atlantic yet, I think it does this week, she's just got herself a job in the GQ advertorial department, so GQ magazine.
And now, I know 1,000 people would kill for that.
Yeah, but she thinks she's so brilliant, but she still kind of has this lofty thing where she's a writer and everyone else who just works there is kind of a corporate, you know, just getting on with things. But she soon realises that everybody else identifies as a writer as well, and, you know, she kind of is full of herself. She definitely is. And
yeah, but like, there's a thin line between full of yourself and confidence.
Well, this is it. Where is the line?
So, so maybe it's not such a bad thing, you know?
Well, there's being ambitious and there's being a bit silly about it as well, you know, but she's definitely not lacking confidence as our Hannah. Definitely not.
Just as a matter of interest, you like the programme, you think it's good, you think it's interesting, etc. Do you relate to it?
Yes, in a scary way. It frightens me a bit. Now, you know, I've been very lucky professionally, but I can definitely see bits of Hannah in myself. I can see bits of her friends and my friends, definitely. And the relationships that they have with men are, you know, shockingly realistic as well. So definitely, yeah. More than I can with Carrie Bradshaw.
Then Carrie Bradshaw, Sex and the City. Let's go back to that then, of whatever it might have been. Even the subjects that were tackled in that. Would it be fair to say the subjects tackled in Girls would be stuff that Sex and the City wouldn't have even dreamt of?
Well, I think Sex and the City was kind of, everything was very neatly packaged, and it was very convenient that every week something that Carrie was going through, her friends were experiencing something similar. So that was, you know, that was the way Sex and the City was. And it was very satisfying and kind of had a fairy tale-ish element to it. With Girls, you're going across the river from less glossy Manhattan to Brooklyn. It's, like I said, quite hipster. They're all kind of doing their own thing. The episodes can feel a bit disjointed at times of Girls. Like, one of the characters, Jessa, has just come out of rehab. So she's kind of in stark contrast with the others. Another one, Marnie, she's really beautiful and she wants to be a singer and she's just broken up with her boyfriend. So she's kind of the most normal character, I would say. And then you've Shoshana, the fourth one, who is just graduating from college, very shallow, very silly girl, but hilarious. And the thing is how they interact.
Shallow, silly Shoshana.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder why.
They all have, you know, like it's Hannah Horvath, and they all have hilarious names. It's very different. There are points of comparison, but I don't think, Carrie Bradshaw would have basically had the same sex scenes as Girls has. It's very, very different.
Okay, well, then now that Lena Dunham is so celebrated and a real celebrity and living a very different life to the 20-something girls that she's writing about, is she going to end up losing touch with her generation?
I hope not. Because the skill that she has is that she writes such witty dialogue, and it really kind of resonates with people. So I hope that she just learns from all of this and grows. But like I said, she's growing in the public eye. So obviously that's going to have an effect on her. She's not, you know, she has to get this experience.
What season are you saying is starting? Or is going on
season
three?
Let's
just say it goes to four or whatever it happens to be, but like even five, whatever.
Yeah.
What happens when she's really old, like 32 or something?
She said publicly that she doesn't really want it to go past season five because she doesn't want to be in her 40s and doing the show. It's very of its time. It's very kind of niche. Like, it is very niche. I, I wouldn't be surprised if people who weren't in their 20s didn't watch it. Do you know what I mean? It's not for everybody in the way that Sex and the City might have been or Friends might have been.
Okay, but we did mention earlier on just what she does finally then and what she can do, etc. Like you said, she directs as well as all the other things I mentioned there.
Yeah, her first project was a short film called Tiny Furniture, and she has said that she wants to get back into filmmaking again. So she is multi-talented and, you know, incredibly intelligent. So I do think the future is bright for her. I just hope she kind of channels all her energy into something a bit more, I don't know, mainstream, I suppose.
Right, and she's like a director and a writer. The writing part of it, I presume, is the one that's going to be probably the one to keep
I'd say
going.
So. I hope her book does well. If it's true that she got millions of dollars for it, then I think she is kind of the voice of a generation, whether you like her or not. She can be quite annoying. Her character can be quite annoying, but I think women like her. So hopefully they will, you know, kind of look up to this real woman rather than a Carrie Bradshaw character.
Well, the real woman aspect of it, the Golden Globes, did I see her in the yellow dress and the tattoo and all the rest of that, looking not exactly the same as all the rest of them, as elegant and whatever, A division, etc.
Well, she doesn't look like everyone
else.
That's the beauty of her. And, you know, she's covered in tattoos. She hasn't just got a couple. She's massive ones, you know. And, yeah, she doesn't have the long, glossy hair and perfect makeup, but she seems really happy with herself. And, you know, I'm really drawn to that about her.
Yeah, right, indeed. Okay, well, just watch this space, basically, and you'll certainly be watching right up to the end. And you'd watch a season 4 and 5 if it was there.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. All right, Vicky Notaro from the Independence Day and Night, the editor of it. Thanks a million for dropping in. And you say, girls, what number is this in 3 that's happening?
I think episode 4 or 5 is on this week, in season 3.
In season 3. Yeah. All right, okay. Thanks a million, Vicky. Good luck.
Thank you.
Elijah, I was meant to be your last.
Oh, that is...